This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Good morning. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Okay, we'll get started, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen, nabiyyina wa qudwatina Muhammad. Alayhi afdal salah wa azka taslim. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Allahumma alimna bima yinfa'na wa anfa'na bima alamtana wa zidana ilman ya Rabbil Alameen. Very good. So last class, we began with just dipping our toes into the ocean, that is the Arabic language. We talked about some pretty theoretical things. We didn't really get into a ton of examples. Inshallah, today we'll get into more examples. But we do want to recap some of those things that we learned that were somewhat theoretical, because they are going to make everything kind of stick better in our minds. Understanding, I always give the example of a house. Imagine that Arabic is a house. It has certain rooms inside of it, right? If you know what room you're in, you're going to find what you're looking for more easily than if you're kind of just groping around, searching everywhere for something. So knowing, for example, that there are certain types of words and there's certain types of sentences, and being able to recognize, oh, I'm working with this type of sentence and this type of sentence, it has to have this part to it and that part to it. That all might be foreign to you, but it's going to really, really help things when it comes to acquiring Arabic, especially as we get out of the really, really basic stuff and move on to more and more advanced things. It's really going to help you. So just to review a little bit. I don't know if I mentioned this explicitly last time or not, but I will say it now. In Arabic, there are three types of words. Okay? Three different types of words. They are ism, fi'l, and harf. Okay. In translation, we could say that that corresponds to nouns, though that's not completely accurate. It's a little more broad than nouns. Verbs and particles or everything else. Okay. Those are all, let's just make it easy, all Arabic words can fit into one of these three categories. Ism, fi'l, harf. Great. Now, when it came to making a sentence, we said that there were how many sentences in Arabic, or how many types of sentences? Can anybody recall? Yes. Excellent. Very good. There are two types of sentences. Can anybody give me one of those two types of sentences? What's the name of it?
Grammatical.
Grammatical sentence? Nope. Regretfully, all of them are grammatical.
Oh, synthetic.
Oh, you're thinking about types of languages. Very good. So our brother Ibrahim is recalling something else. Not quite what I'm asking, but he's recalling the different types of languages. From a linguistic kind of point of view, we have analytic languages and synthetic languages. That was the first thing I had kind of gotten into. In order to demonstrate, to open up your brains and realize that Arabic isn't like English in that it's not so dependent on the sequence of words. It's not so dependent on word order in a sentence to make meaning. It's much more dependent upon putting things on the actual words in order to communicate meaning. Shahada family has some good guesses, but no one's hitting it on the head, and that means that I didn't teach it right.
No, maybe sentences are starting with noun.
Oh, you saved the day. You saved the day. Very good. I was going to start to blame myself. So when it comes to sentences in the Arabic language, there's a reason, there's a method to my madness. So look at here. I just laid out for you the three types of Arabic words, or the three types of words in Arabic. Why did I do that? Because we can make sentences beginning with that ism. We can make sentences beginning with verbs. But when it comes to harf, that's not something that we do, or at least that's the rule that you're going to learn now to make things very easy for you. So, all sentences are the two types of sentences that we are concerned with in Arabic. The word for sentence, by the way, in Arabic is jumla. Jumla. So we have a jumla ismiya. See how it resembles ism. And we have a jumla fi'liya. See how it resembles fi'l. Those are our two main types of sentences. One of them is going to begin with an ism. The other is going to begin with a fi'l. And we said that for the time being, we are going to completely ignore number two. And we're going to solely focus on the first type. Because this is where our book begins us. Hadha baytun. This is a sentence that begins with an ism. This is a sentence that begins with an ism. Very good. So imagine again, take the house metaphor. Take the house metaphor. Arabic is a house. Okay? You walk into the door. The rooms are the types of sentences that you can make. Okay? There's two rooms inside the house. You have on your left, you have the jumla ismiya. You have on your right, you have the jumla fi'liya. We're going to completely disregard the door on the right for the time being. We're just going to look right over to the door on the left. Say, hey, I wonder what's behind this door. We're curious. We open up the door. What do we find inside? We find inside that there's actually a curtain in the middle of the room, dividing the room into two parts. The jumla ismiya has two parts. Let's see, I'm going to draw a little, try to erase this. If we have, okay, I'll just clear it all. If we have here our jumla ismiya, okay, then we have two parts. And I'm going to go from right to left, since Arabic is right to left. Can somebody give me one of the two essential parts of a jumla ismiya? What does a jumla ismiya have to have in order for it to be a complete sentence? The Shahada family already answered this in one of their earlier comments. They said that it have to have a mubtada, which we translate as the subject, but as I mentioned before, we want to learn the grammatical terms in Arabic because some of them are going to translate and some of them aren't. So mubtada, you know, alhamdulillah, it translates pretty accurately to subject. But things later on are not going to translate at all. And then we have khabar, roughly corresponding to subject and predicate. And we said our archetypal sentence, hadha baytun, was an example of this in action. Hadha was the mubtada and baytun was the khabar. So, that's a nice brief review. Let's get back to the book and here we go. Do some reading. So, I will call on a few people. Dr. Mohsen, can you read for us our first example from yesterday here on the right?
Hada baytun.
Good. We're going to use the tanween for now because it's going to be important to distinguish between grammatical concepts as we go forward. Once you're pros in Arabic, then you can drop them and everyone will know what you're talking about. But for now, we'll keep them. Hada baytun. Good. Now, what type of sentence is this, Dr. Mohsen? Very good. How can you tell? How do you know?
It has ism in it.
Where? Is a jumla ismiya simply a sentence with an ism somewhere in it? Or does it matter where it is?
It's starting.
Excellent. Starting. Excellent. Very good. Yes, it starts with an ism. This hadha here is an ism. This is a house. Very good. Ibrahim, what part of the sentence is hadha? We said that it is an ism, but we said that the jumla ismiya has two parts, mubtada and khabar. Hadha is what? Is which one of those two parts?
Mubtada.
Excellent. Very good. You're correct. It is mubtada. Why is it mubtada? Because mubtada, just like the subject, is the thing that we're talking about. Right? This. And the khabar is literally the information that we're giving about that thing. And this was all of our examples. Hada baytun, hada masjidun, hada babun. I recommend for you all, as a study technique, to take a separate notebook and to make it into a kind of like a dictionary, right? Because we've only learned maybe, what, 9 words yesterday, but the words are going to pile up. So one thing that we used to do was we used to take a small notebook and make it a dictionary. At the top of each page, we would put a letter of the Arabic language, and then we would put in entries for that letter. So, for example, I would go to the page that had ba at the top and write bait when I learned bait. And then I'd go to the page that had meme and I'd write ba baitun, hadha masjidun, hadha babun, kitabun, qallamun, until the end of it, and we learned all of those words. Today, we're going to add a wrinkle, okay? We're going to add a wrinkle upon this pattern. all of the sentences that we learned last class are affirmative statements, meaning that we're stating something in the positive. We're not asking a question. We're not negating anything. We are stating, this is, this is. Today we're going to look at how to ask a question with the jumla ismiya. Okay? So we started with our formula, hadha, and then another word, another noun. Now we're going to learn another formula to help us ask questions about nouns, about ism. And that formula is ma hadha. The word ma in Arabic has many meanings, not just the meaning that we're going to learn here. However, you can tell the difference between the meanings depending on the context. Here, it's obvious because we have a nice big fat question mark that this ma means what. If we want to ask about what in Arabic, we're going to use ma. And it is going to come before the thing that we're asking about. Just like in English, we say, what is this? You could say, this is what, but people might look at you funny. It's not the automatic thing that you would assume. So I need two volunteers because we're going to have kind of a conversation here. The column on the right will be one person and the column on the left will be another person.
I can be one volunteer.
Okay, Dr. Mohsen is one. Who else?
I can too.
Okay, Ibrahim, go for it. I can't see everybody on the video while looking at the Arabic book, so forgive me if you're waving your hand at me and I can't see you. Okay, so Dr. Mohsen, he will be the participant that is responsible for the right column, the column on the right of the screen, and Ibrahim will be on the left. So, start us off, Dr. Mohsen.
Bahada.
And Ibrahim will respond to him with the answer on the left side.
Hada Beitun.
Excellent. Next question.
Ahada Beitun.
Oh, very good. Go ahead, the answer.
Naam Hada Beitun.
Okay.
Mahada.
Hada Kamisun.
Good. Kamisun. Stop right there just for a second. I'll point out a couple of things. First of all, you've learned a new vocab word, qamis. Qamis, which is the word for a shirt, or even in classical Arabic, even what we call today a thobe. The Spanish word for shirt, camisa, actually comes from the Arabic qamis. Notice what happened here. We had a question and a response. Now, the first one was very obvious. Ma hadha? What is this? It's a completely open-ended question, right? It's using a question word. If we're thinking about making questions, we can divide all of questions into two categories. The first category uses question words. What, when, why, how, where, right? Basically, the answer is open-ended. It is not a yes or no question, okay? And therefore, the second category is simply how to ask a yes or no question. So here in this lesson, they're teaching you both. You have the first example here is how to ask an open-ended question about something's identity. Ma hadha? What is this? The possibilities are endless. It could be a shirt. It could be a bird. It could be a plane. It could be lunch. It could be anything, right? And so Ibrahim responded, Hada Beitun. This is a house. The second question that Dr. Mohsen asked demonstrates to us how to ask a yes or no question with this Hamza right here. Hamza before Hadha, Ahadha Baytun, asks, is this a house? Ahadha Baytun, is this a house? And the response can no longer just be Hadha Baytun. Ibrahim had to say, Na'am, yes, Hadha Baytun. So we learn that we have two different ways to ask questions depending on the type of question we are trying to ask. We have open-ended questions, Mada, Aina. We will learn more of these in the future. And then we have yes or no questions, which there are only a couple ways to ask them. Right now we've learned the most important one, which is with a Hamza. All the times in the Quran where you hear Ara'aita, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, right? That Hamza in the beginning is the same type of questioning Hamza. Alam tara, haven't you seen? Here we have, meaning the answer is yes or no. Here we have, Ahadha baytun? Na'am, hadha baytun. So now you all have the tools that you need to ask lots of different questions about everything that you learned in the previous class. You should be able to state, to make an affirmative statement, this is a pen, this is a key. You should be able to grab an object that's unknown to you and ask, what is this thing? Ma hadha. And you should also be able to ask a yes or no question about it when you have an idea, but you're not sure. Is this, do you call this a miftah? Ahadha miftah? Ahadha qalam? Ahadha kitab? And so now you have many tools how to ask questions about these things. And why the author of this book made this the first lesson? Because now you can take off and ask questions about anything that you come across. Good. Can I have two other volunteers to continue the dialogue? I see a finger pointing at Syra. Rashad, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be a volunteer.
Okay, so Syra and Rashad. Very good. So Syra is responsible for the column on the right, Rashad for the column on the left. Go for it.
Ahadha sirun.
Very close. Ahadha sarirun. Notice how we have a fatha on top of the scene, which means we have to go with sa, and then the kasra on underneath the ra, ri run. So go ahead and try it again.
Ahadha sarirun.
Excellent. And the response?
La hada kursiyun.
Very good. And you gave a very definitive, confident no. No, that is not a bed. That is a chair. La hada kursiyun. Very good. The next one, go ahead.
Ahadha
miftahun. Very good. Miftahun. Look at that nice long alif. We got to stretch it out. Miftahun. Go ahead, try it again.
Ahadha miftahun.
Excellent. And the answer?
La hadha qalamun.
Very good. We can't quite get anything right here. Excellent. We think that the pen is a key. We think that the chair is a bed. But that's how you learn a language. I can tell you all sorts of embarrassing stories from when I was starting out in Arabic and make you laugh. Okay, last one. Go for it.
Mahaza.
Very good.
Najmun.
Very good. So you've learned a new vocab word, star, Najmun, which is one of the surahs of the Quran, Surah 53, Surah An-Najm. Excellent. You know, that reminds me to say a very, very, one of the most important skills you can have when learning any language is almost a sociopathic indifference to making mistakes, right? When we're concerned about not seeming intelligent or we're concerned about making mistakes in front of other people, that is by far, when it comes to language, the biggest thing that holds us back from learning. And I speak just from my own experience, not from anything I saw from anyone here, but just, you know, we kind of, because of the school system and our wanting to accomplish and achieve, we kind of look at failure as an obstacle to success or the opposite of success. Whereas with language, failure is the path to success, right? You have to throw yourself into the failure. You're going to make the mistakes anyway. The quicker you force yourself to make them, the quicker you'll learn and overcome them. Very good. Excellent. So now we've got a new exercise, and so we need some new volunteers. Now they've upped the difficulty. Look, they're just giving you questions and they're giving you pictures. And now you're going to have to recall the vocab words you were supposed to have reviewed and memorized for this class. Of course, I won't be able to flip through the page, or I won't be able to see you flipping frantically through the pages to see what they were. Let's hear from someone else. Muhammad, Ali, Muhammad, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Would you accept my invitation to participate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bismillah. So go ahead and read the question here.
Mahada.
Excellent. Now, how are you going to formulate a response? I'll ask you this first. I'll ask you a question first. Is this okay. question, is it an open-ended question or is it a yes or no question?
This is not a yes or no question.
Excellent. So we can't say, for example, if someone asks you ma hada, you say na'am, which is something I've done before.
But this requires a response.
Exactly. It requires a response with a little more information than that. Good. So yes. You're going to take the part of the question, you're going to spit it right back out as part of the answer. I'm asking ma hada. So what's the response?
Well, I gotta say this is a key.
Okay, excellent. If this were an English test, you would have passed with flying colors. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah.
So I gotta say, I don't know how to say key.
Okay, good. You missed the first lesson. I understand, I appreciate your courage. So, the more important thing than knowing the word, because you can always go back and learn the word, is that you started your response with hada, which is exactly what you have to do, right?
Yes.
If I'm asking you, ma hadha, you're grabbing what's in the question and you're spitting it. It's just like in school when they tell you to answer with a complete sentence. You grab the part of the question, you spit it back out as part of the response. Ma hadha, hadha, this is, in this case, who wants to help him out?
I can help him out.
Yes.
Miftahun.
Excellent. Yes. So in this case, hada miftahun. Okay. I'm going to now just be the questioner, and you all are going to have to answer. And no, if for those of you who were here last class, no looking at the first page with these with the vocab words. So Ibrahim, ma hada.
Hada kitab. Kitabun.
Very good. I heard a page flipping, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Hada kitabun. Okay, very good. Let's go to... Let's see who else we have here. And forgive me again, because I can't look at the PDF and look at everybody's... all the participants at the same time. So let's hear from the Shahada family, a representative from the Shahada family. Ma hada.
Hada kalamun.
Excellent. Hada qalamun. Very good. What about Rashad? Ma hada. Babun. Excellent. Very good. Let's go to Syrah. Ma hada.
Hada bacon.
Excellent. Very good. What about Naima? Ma hada. She might have the kids.
No, she's at work.
Oh, so she's at work. Oh.
And she's probably just listening.
I will volunteer.
Okay.
I forgot how to say chair.
Oh, you forgot how to say chair? Okay. Who wants to help her? I heard someone else speak up.
I can help.
Yes.
Okay. It's Hada Kursiyun.
Excellent. Good job, Mir. Yes. Hada Kursiyun. Excellent work. Okay. Good. Now that we've done those sorts of things, those were the open-ended question. Now they're going to give you an exercise that shows the other type of question, which was the yes or no question. Okay, so we have, for example, ahada baytun, and the response would be
la.
La. Okay, finish it. What is it?
La. Hada masjidun.
Excellent. La. Hada masjidun. Ahada baytun. Is this a house? No. La. Hada. This is a masjid. Masjidun. Ahada miftahun. Dr. Mohsen.
La. Hada qalamun.
Excellent. Very good. Rashad. Ahada qamisun.
Naam.
Excellent.
Hada qamisun.
Yes, very good. You can just say naam, or you can say naam hada qamisun. Ahada najmun. Who do we have? Shahada family. Ahada najmun.
I honestly forgot the star, but I believe it is.
Yes.
Ahada najmun.
MashaAllah. Correct. Ahsant. Naam. Sahih. Hada najmun. Okay, very good. This will be the end of, I think, we'll stop here for today. I recommend going back and writing these exercises out, especially these exercises where it says read and write. Right? So grab a piece of paper, preferably a notebook, write hada kitabun, hada masjidun, hada qalamun. And if you can write even more than this and write some of the things that were earlier on in the chapter, then that's even better. Notice, and I'll point this out as a last thing, notice that what they didn't do for this exercise, it says hada maktabun, but they took away the tanween. They took away all the tanween. Hada masjidun, hada qalamun. If you've ever wondered, how is it possible that people can read Arabic without the harakat, without the tanween? You're doing it right here. This is your first little exposure and pat on the back to how that process can happen. Because you know the grammar of the sentence, first of all. You know that this is a jumla ismiya, and that the jumla ismiya has two parts, the mubtada and the khabar, and that the end, it ends with un. It has to end with un for reasons we talked about before. And you know the vocab word. So you know that this is hada maktabun, hada masjidun, hada qalamun, and it can't be anything else. It can't be qalaman, it can't be qalamin, it can't be qalama, because you know the grammar and you know the vocab. So this is just your little taste of what's to come. Once you learn more about the grammar and more about the vocab, you'll be able to do that with all sentences. This is just the very, very beginning. So does anybody have any questions about anything before we conclude? Let's see, I'll stop the share.
I'm not going to lie, earlier when you said Hada Beithon and it was a mezgid, I almost thought the answer was going to be, Naam, Hada Bayt Allah.
Ya Salaam. MashaAllah.
Technically, right?
Yeah, it could be. That's better than what I thought. I thought you say hadha bayt al-malik. This might be the house of the king or something like that. But yes, it could be bayt Allah. They've tried to make it look very Aladdin-like, I guess, to show that it's a masjid. Yes, question, Dr. Mohsin.
This tajweed means why we have to put it in there.
The tanween?
Tanween, yes. The end, the two.
Good. So, why do we have to say it? Or why is it written? Or why is it what it is?
All of the above.
All the above. Okay. So we write it and say it because right now it's going to help us learn. Right? What it really is are they are kind of like secret symbols explaining grammatical cases. Okay? So for example, let's see if I can... Yep. Back here. Where am I at here? My screen. So for example, oh, here we are. If we have Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra, okay, X, where X equals any letter, okay, these mean things within grammar, okay? They mean, for example, subject, object. They could say preposition or being part of a prepositional phrase. We haven't quite gotten into it yet. I'm asking you just to take me on good faith that when it comes to a jumla ismiya, both parts, the mubtada khabar, are with a dhamma. We haven't seen why yet because we've been using hadha. Hadha is a special word where we don't see. It's always hadha. It's never hadhu, hadha. It doesn't change. But we have seen it when it comes to the second part, the khabar, masjidun, babun. Right? So the khabar, the predicate of a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, is always in this grammatical case. Okay? That's one of the ways that we can recognize that part of speech. But we've just walked up to that door. We haven't walked through it yet. It's going to become, I'll explain more once we get into probably definite and indefinite nouns and what's the difference between them. But it's good to be thinking along those lines. Basically, and this is why some mistakes in the Quran are very serious, because the difference between Allahu and Allaha is the difference between an object and a subject. Right? So we change the meaning entirely. If I say خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ, that means that Allah created the heavens and the earth. If I change that little haraka and I say خَلَقَ اللَّهَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, you know, Allah, that I just said that the heavens and the earth created Allah. Same words, everything's the same. But these little things different because they indicate parts of speech. They indicate grammatical case. Who's doing the object? Who's doing the verb? Who's receiving the verb? And so on and so forth. But we'll get into that more and more as the lessons go by. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Yep, of course. Okay, if there's nothing else, then we will part, inshallah, for today. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.